Hope is this kind of confident expectation that God's purposes are going to win the day. Like, we know how the story ends. And that is such a motivator to pursue justice now, to comfort the brokenhearted, because we know how the stories end. Yeah.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Estabrooks, Season 11, Episode Number 13.
Well, welcome to See, Hear, Love as we celebrate the Christmas season and we lean into a posture of wonder, awe, and anticipation of the coming Messiah, the birth of Christ, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to us. And we are so glad you have joined us for this Advent series as we discuss hope, peace, joy, and love together. And who better to spend Christmas with than with these incredible, inspiring, beautiful women? You, all of you. So let's do some introductions. Bishop Jenny Anderson, welcome.
Thank
You're the rector of St. Paul's Bloor Street and St. George's Grange Park in Toronto.
That's right.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yes. And Merry Christmas.
Thank you. To you too. almost Christmas.
Yes, that's true. Cheryl Nemhard, justice advocate, podcaster, international speaker, and director of Women Speakers Collective. One of our OGs
from
the first day.
Let's go.
See Hear Love launch. So welcome, Cheryl. It's great to have you here.
So good to be here and be with you. It's going to be a great show.
Absolutely. Thank you. And Nicole, right in the center here, therapist, author, and speaker. Welcome, Nicole.
Thanks, Melinda.
It's good to have you back.
So good to be here.
And finally, Ann Voskamp, New York Times bestselling author, speaker, and blogger. Welcome. Welcome back in.
Joy to be with you all.
This is, I love this because this is like a girl's day away. It's time to kind of take a pause and exhale. So let's start off with the question. What is the one thing that you're looking forward to this Christmas season?
Gaining 10 pounds. Are you with me, people? Well,
you eat the Christmas log.
I'm going to eat my feelings and be unashamed.
That's so great.
So we'll see you in the next year.
Just a little more.
Okay.
Love it. I look forward to that. I'm looking forward to Christmas morning. I love the feeling of Christmas morning and making a brunch and just how that feels to celebrate that day. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I cannot wait to have all of my children all home and around the table.
It's the best gift.
It is. I am so looking forward to that.
Yeah. I am looking forward to my mom or sister's homemade pierogies or petahe. We do Ukrainian Christmas. And so I love sort of that homemade, cabbage rolls, borscht, and pierogies
so
with lots of sour cream and onion. So I'm with you, Cheryl, on the 10 pounds.
Absolutely.
So I'm set for that. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to this. Yes. You all have it. It's our See, Hear, Love Advent Bible Study Guide. It is free to download on our website, and you can follow along with us with your study guide through our discussions that we'll be doing throughout the show. And you can take notes, there are reflections in it, prayers, action steps, and so much more. So we're excited to work with you, all of you, and learn together through this book. So this is what we're going to be doing through the Advent season with this book. I do need to take a moment here, too, also to pause, because we are also very aware how the Christmas season is and can be really hard for those that are struggling with loss and grief and mental health and financial struggle and family challenges and dynamics of singleness and homelessness and marriage issues. And so our hope is that, and our prayers, that our conversations through this series, our friendship will connect with you and you will feel like you're right here in this living room with us, knowing that you are loved and belong. And our prayer is that you'll also be encouraged by the Christmas story, the new things you'll hear and learn, and be encouraged that Jesus came for you, for us, for the whole world, because he deeply loves us, is for us, and is with us. Yeah?
Amen.
So I love that kind of prayer and blessing. Okay, so on that note, let's get into our Advent series, the wonder of Advent through the Psalms, and the wonder of hope. And I'm so grateful, Jenny, that you're here to explain more about what Advent is, the significance of the candles here, and our first week of hope. So, Jenny, it's all yours.
Thanks so much, Melinda. It's so great to be with you all. And as we journey towards Christmas, we have this really special season of Advent, those 4 weeks leading up to Christmas. And it actually, it's not a word you're going to find in your Bible. So if you've been looking in your Bible, you won't have found it. But it comes from a Latin word, Adventus, which means coming or waiting. And actually, historically, Christians use the season of Advent to prepare themselves for the second coming of Jesus, right? Christmas is the first coming. Where we have that wonderful joy, and we look forward with hope to the second coming of Jesus. So that's actually historically what Advent was. But what's happened, I think, in the last few decades is our culture has kind of commercialized Christmas and co-opted it really into this kind of rampant season of materialism and consumption and sentimentality, which is hard if you're struggling, you know, with real life. Anyway, so I think what Christians have done is they've said, you know what? Advent is a wonderful way for us to kind of call our culture back, invite people into what is the real meaning of Christmas. So we're now using Advent in a fresh way to prepare ourselves for the first coming of Jesus, knowing the second coming's on the horizon. And I think what's happened is that we've now got Advent in three main ways helps us prepare for Christmas. And the first, I think, is we've now learned habits that help us spiritually focus in an incredibly distracting season. It's such a noisy season. How do you hear the voice of the baby in Bethlehem with, you know, all the noises of December in our culture? So we now have habits like lighting an Advent wreath, which we're going to do in a minute and talk about. Focused time of prayer and study, which this wonderful guide is going to help us do. And also things like Advent calendars, right? So the first way is that Advent gives us some spiritual habits to refocus in a kind of really distracting season. And then I think the second thing that Advent does is it reminds us that we live in an in-between time. We live in between the first coming and the second coming. And so it gives us a place to lament, to grieve the brokenness of our world, which many of us experience on a daily basis. And therefore, it also creates a place for us to embrace compassion over consumption. Advent is a wonderful time to do that. So, in the church I serve, St. Paul's Burr Street, we have every year what's called the Advent Ask, where we raise funds for a particular global or local ministry that is, and encouraging people, spend less on yourself. Embrace compassion over consumption. So Advent creates that space. Thirdly, Advent forces us to slow down, right? Rather than kind of headlong rush into the commercialism of Christmas, we're forced to slow down and remember that God's timing is not our timing. And the Advent wreath is a perfect way of doing that. It slows us down week by week. So the first candle, the candles all have a different theme. And traditionally, the first candle, the theme is hope. And I think Cheryl's going to light that candle. And
Cheryl's making copious notes.
God bless you, Cheryl. Lighting? And it's the hope candle because it's traditionally been focused with Old Testament prophecy, remembering the ways that our forebears in faith just longed for the Messiah to come. And they were longing for the Messiah to come to free them from whatever, whoever was oppressing them, the Assyrians or the Romans, but also a longing for their relationship with God to be permanently restored, right? Not something that kept getting broken and then had to be renewed and broken and renewed. We want like a permanent fix here, right? So they were just longing for that. And you see this longing to be in a close relationship with God in our first song. Our first psalm, Psalm 130. So let me read that. Psalm 130, verses 5 to 6, for the hope candle. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. Now, this would have been one of the psalms attributed to King David, and pilgrims would have used this as they journeyed up to Jerusalem to repent and kind of restore their relationship with God. So it's a longing for this restoration. And what I love about this verse is you begin to see the difference between hope and optimism. And I think this is really important. We're going to see this in the Psalms and in our from Romans. Optimism sounds positive, it sounds good, but it's actually quite passive.
because you're believing that everything's going to turn out regardless of what we do. Whereas hope is fundamentally different than optimism, right? Hope is this kind of confident expectation that God's purposes are going to win the day. Like, we know how the story ends. And that is such a motivator to pursue justice now, to comfort the brokenhearted, because we know how the stories end. And that's fundamentally different than optimism. And you see here, can you see in this verse, Psalm 130, the watchmen, it's not passive. Watchmen are very active. They're sacrificing. They're sacrificing sleep to protect and look out on the horizon and see who do we need to rescue from danger. So they are, it's not passive at all. Hope is not passive. It's active. That. And you see these watchmen are not lazy. They're actively scouting the horizon, right? And it's interesting, I only recently discovered that in the Hebrew Bible, there's two words that are used for hope. I'm going to mispronounce them, but kava and yakal.
Say that again, kava.
Kava and yakal. See, there you go.
So good. Okay. This is so good. I'm so excited.
Here's the kicker. They are both translated as wait.
Yeah.
Hope and wait are the same word. Okay. And to hope in God means to wait for God to bring the completion that God promises. And it invites us to kind of lean forward, knowing that God is going to use us. And I don't think optimism has the power to help us persevere, but hope does. And what I've recently, in my own life, just recently kind of realized that God's designed the world on a partnership model and invites me to lean in with hope. Now, the psalmist placed their hope in the character of God, but then St. Paul, who wrote our verse from Romans, he'd actually encountered the resurrected Jesus. So he was able to talk about hope in a more concrete way. So listen to this. Actually, before I read the Romans, there's this wonderful Anglican missionary called Leslie Newbegin, and he said this. I am neither an optimist nor a pessimist. Jesus is risen from the dead.
Wow.
Isn't that great? That's the ground for hope. And you see this in Romans, this confidence. Okay. Let me just read the Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see here that hope is a gift. You can't manufacture hope, right? It is that you can manufacture optimism, but it'll fade. But hope is a gift. It gets poured into our hearts by the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is so encouraging because it means all of us can actually ask for this gift from God, right? Whatever we're struggling with.
So good.
So, and Paul was dealing with a lot of conflict in the church in Rome, and yet he had hope that people could be given this gift from the Spirit. So hearing how hope and optimism are different, how does that land for you? Where might that spark thoughts for you for people?
Goodness. I've been thinking about everything you said, and for some reason, I can't get off of four words. It's my whole being waits. I said against the backdrop of what you said. I feel like the encouragement for all of us, especially for me, I was like, Cheryl, is your whole being
waiting
on the Lord? And here's what I know for sure. The answer is no.
Nice and short.
Because some of us live in a lot of head knowledge. We hear, we learn, we're constantly learning, and this is a beautiful time of learning. But does our heart know it for sure? And does our body walk in obedience to what our soul knows for sure? And so I'm reminding all of us that as we trust and hope in God, that we don't run ahead in our minds and in our bodies out of placement, out of time, out of reaction, out of fear, but that our whole being, mind, body, heart, soul waits and trusts. Yeah, that's mine.
It's beautiful, you know, and it seems to me as it's a choice, isn't it?
It is a choice.
And so when you look at Romans, I love how you tie that together, Jenny. Like, and as I'm reading the scripture, it's funny how we need to notice what we notice, hey? Like, certain things just like...
Why is that the thing that we notice?
It's like, there it is. Yeah. You read this 100 times, you're like, oh my gosh, there's something new today. So thank you for kind of leading us in that. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope. It's like...
Good.
I am going to choose to be focused on him so that I may overflow. And so his hope, his peace can fill me. And there's a choice in here that we get to make. Mm. And that's just like that choice piece, I think, is really important.
Mm. And that's what I love what you just said there is like there's an abundance of hope to be had. Yeah. Like the word overflowing, like God's not stingy with the gift.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? God will give us the gift lavishly
yes.
as we ask for it. Mm. And I think... Yeah. That is such an encouragement to ask, right?
Yeah.
Ask
and hope.
We'll let it just flow.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Ask for it. That's
because any good parent wants to just like abundantly bless their children. We love it when our kids ask us for these beautiful things, right? And I think that's like he's this loving father.
He wants us to ask.
Yeah, he wants us to ask. That's beautiful.
I was so struck, Jenny, when you unpacked those words for hope.
Yes.
Those two Hebrew words. One of those is kavah.
Yes.
It means to wait.
Yes.
And when you dig into the etymology of that word kavah, it literally means to be entwined.
Right.
To be bound to. When I think about, sometimes I feel like, especially I think sometimes during the holiday season, the grief can emerge in the missing of so many people, or that our story isn't the way we want our story to be.
Right.
And I can feel like I'm losing hope. Mm. But when I think that hope is about me waiting with my heart entwined to God, I can't lose hope. I literally, another translation for that Romans 15:13 is so that I may abound with hope.
Yes.
Can I see myself in my waiting that my heart is bound to God, that I'm entwined to him so that I may abound with hope.
And what I really like there is that, like, I think Advent, if we're bound to God, it still leaves a space for us to grieve.
Yes.
It leaves a space to lament. But you're not doing it without hope.
No.
Right?
And,
and you're not trying to minimize.
And he comforts us in the midst of that waiting.
And that's why I love Advent and that we started with hope.
Yes.
Because right from the beginning, you said this Advent experience, moment, helps us to refocus. We have habits that are busy.
That's right.
Consumption.
That's right.
Spend. But this actually is like in the waiting, it slows us down. And listen, I look around, we are all high level of output, writing, speaking, doing. Let's just be honest. Maybe that's why I brought you all here.
Yes.
I'm forcing you all to do Advent with me. Okay? So it's like the slowing down, the exhaling, because I think I need in this, when you were talking about this habit, to help us focus on what's important. I think the waiting, waiting to me, I start feeling a little anxious, but the whole Advent experience is about waiting in anticipation of the coming.
And you're waiting, knowing that God is speaking.
Yes.
But we have to create a space so we can actually hear. You know, it's not like, if I wait, will God show up? God's here.
Yes.
And that's why I feel this overwhelming invitation for embodiment and alignment of what I know to connect to my entwining heart to now rest fully.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then
connect
your heart is all tied to his. You can lean all your hope up against hope himself.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes.
You know what's really showing up for me right now as we're talking to you is that, like, God chose the timing of this.
Yeah.
And I think, as we know, he's chosen the timing of Christ's second coming, right?
Yes.
The second coming.
Yes.
And so Jesus is born. And for whatever reason, it just shows up as like, right, you said this at the beginning, Jenny. You said, like, God's timing is different than our timing, but it's perfect.
But I don't like that.
It's hard.
And I need to be reminded that it's
so hard.
That God's timing is good and perfect.
And right for
and
us.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when I was speaking across Canada in this place and encouraging women, over and over, women were like, but it's been 10 years.
Yeah.
It's 30 years. It's not what I want. And I think that's the encouragement that we can speak into. Like, and when I hear about hope, it's like, how do we give that encouragement? How do I take that? Because I don't like waiting.
Yeah.
I want very quick answers. I don't want to wait. I want things fast and quick. And now I want the answers now. And I want the prayers answered now.
Yep.
But that's not what we're saying here.
Eugene Peterson in The Message, when he talks about waiting, he says, waiting is gestating. And I always think about, when I am waiting with hope, I'm actually enlarging in my faith in God.
Yeah.
That
that's
in that gestation, I am growing in in trusting in his promise and his goodness that is birthing and delivering me into a person that has deep allegiance, leaning everything up against God himself.
I love that word, gestation.
Yes.
We don't usually use that word.
When you're reading in the message, waiting is gestating. Then I think, oh, I'm not waiting with emptiness.
Right.
I'm waiting in growing.
Yes, that's purpose.
And I love, you said the word deep and it just sparked a quick thought. So
you
did a beautiful job with this hope versus optimism.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was so good.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, let's just lean in for just like 30 seconds.
So good.
In this time and age with all that's going on, it's just not enough to be optimistic.
Right.
That will only take you, as you said, so far. So what is the difference and why hope?
Yeah,
and so I was like, okay, here's a good one. If optimism is like a 25-foot luxury yacht in the Caribbean.
Of course.
Right?
Okay,
sunshine and warm air. Yeah. Right? Beautiful, happy, shiny.
Yeah.
Hope is the anchor underneath.
That's good.
The things. Hope like requires a deeper work, an instilling, an anchoring in God
so
that when the storms come, that is what keeps you. And so, because optimism can go in with a phone call.
That's right.
Yeah. With a moment. But hope is deeper.
Absolutely.
And so an invitation to do the deeper work.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. And we can produce optimism. Only God can give hope.
So,
I think these are important.
So.
Like it's a gift, right? That we
like
need
that.
To ask
yes.
for.
He is the anchor.
Right. He is the anchor.
I love it because hope is a gift. I love that. Yes. I don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
I think I always thought it was a posture of like, I have to be hopeful.
No. Yeah.
But that changes things when it's actually hope is a gift and in partnership with God as we journey in this life together.
So powerful in that Psalms 130, hope in the Lord.
Yes.
Like you said, Nicole, we have a choice. Where am I going to put my hope? It's like that. I've lost my keys. I've put my keys somewhere and I can't find them. If you've lost your hope, have I put my hope in the wrong thing?
Come on.
Yeah. That I need to go ahead. I need to put all my hope in Jesus alone. That's my anchor.
Yeah.
That's going to hold. That's going to hold.
That's good. Yeah. Do you have some thoughts, Nicole? You're kind of like processing?
Yeah, do I have some thoughts? I love the passive, but active, which is what you're saying.
Yes.
And it's like that whole sense of like, wait a second, when all of this else fades away, my hope, the anchor, is in Jesus.
Yes, my hope is in the Lord.
It's in the Lord.
Yes.
I put it somewhere.
Yes.
And it's a gift.
It is a gift.
And what a blessing that we get to be received on the receiving end of that gift. I had a student ask me several years ago, what's the difference? But like, what if you're not a Christian? Can you have hope?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a really great answer, but optimism is
optimism.
What you can have.
Yes.
And so you've just kind of given me language for that, actually, which is really, really beautiful.
We've talked a lot about hope, and I love this discussion. It's beautiful. And my heart is like bursting. Mm. Is gestating? Can I say that? As we're waiting?
Okay.
I'm going to start. Throw me words, ladies, all Advent season. I'm going to use them.
So good.
Yeah. So we've mentioned this and touched on it. There are women and men who are feeling hopeless, are stuck, or maybe have been optimistic and things have fallen. Dreams have not happened. This season is grief and loss,
so
disappointment
hard.
And loneliness. Yeah. What would you say? I mean, and us too. There's been some things that through this past year and even this season, we're all personally struggling with.
Yeah.
What would you say to us? Mm-hmm. Women collectively, let's talk about our sisters who are struggling. What is our encouragement in hope for them today?
Mm.
Jenny.
Yeah, first of all, I would say you can be honest about that. Mm-hmm. Our culture does not create a lot of spaces for people to grieve and lament, right? Everything's got to be great. The food's got to be wonderful. The relationships have to be perfect. And I think that's one of the gifts of Christian community, that we should be able to come in and say, I need to take the mask off and I need to do it in a place where people are going to pray for me. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing is I would say you can be honest with your sisters in Christ and say, I'm really struggling with this. Could you pray for me?
Yeah.
Could you ask for hope for me? Could you hold faith for me? Because I don't have it right now. Could you ask that God would pour hope into my heart by the gift, by the power of the Holy Spirit? So I think, and our culture does not give you a space to do that.
I love that. Ask for hope for me.
For me.
It's like, Cheryl, can you pray hope for me?
Interceding.
Yes.
Yeah,
interceding.
That's
beautiful.
I know, I'm like looking at Cheryl. I don't know what's going on here, but Cheryl.
It's my road dog of 10 years, people. I think when you for the woman who is at the end, close to burnout, has nothing left, can't do another thing, I've got great news. Hope isn't something you do.
Mm.
Hope is something you receive.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And so I encourage you to do nothing but crash, fall, into Jesus.
Hope himself.
Lean into hope himself. So. I think that that is the best thing I can do, because we're thinking, how do I, and it's all about action and doing. This is about laying, receiving, and waiting.
There we go.
So.
That's really beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you for that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a little bit goosebumpy.
Everybody's just leaning in to the person.
We are really dismissive of people's pain, especially when we just want to experience joy. Hey, and I think that God's not afraid of our pain. God, actually, he does some of his best work in the valleys, doesn't he? He leans in extra close. I mean, not that he's ever far away at all, but he's so tight up to his kids when we are struggling. So what a beautiful opportunity to just lean, like Cheryl said, into him, his promises, his sovereignty. He is good, and he loves us, and we're not alone. So, but I would also start with, I am so sorry. This is a hard season.
Yes.
Like, let's just say, I am so sorry that this is hard. I have had hard seasons at Christmas where everybody else seems to be polished and everything's going great. Mm. And I know what it's like to feel disappointed, lonely, and a story that doesn't go the way you want it to go.
Totally. That's right.
Totally.
It's good.
And putting our face on the floor in front of the Lord and inviting people to pray for us and with us and leaning into Jesus and the truth and the bottom line of the season.
Yes.
That's actually where we find that hope and that peace.
You know, and I think it'd be perfect for you to do a prayer
to
kind of seal this up and
pray
hope for us and for others. Thank you.
Oh, Lord, as we wait for you, as we kavah for you, where we tie our broken hearts to your heart so that we can be bound to you, can we lean on you so that we can have hope abounding. We ask you, Lord, give us steadfast hope. We ask it for our sisters, Lord. Give us this gift of hope that we want to receive. Teach us to wait with trust, gestating, growing in our confidence in who you are, knowing your promises never fail. Lord, as we wait, keep us from ruminating, but cause us to keep repeating your promises, because we are watchmen waiting for the dawn. Remind us that your promises are sure, even in the dark. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, the only one who's ever loved us to death and back to the realest life. Amen.
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 Well, we'd love for you to join our community, because we can't do See Here Love without you. And I can't do this season without you, Jenny, Cheryl, Nicole, and Ann. Thank you so much for being here today, to leaning on each other. Jenny, thank you so much for your wisdom, teaching, and setting us up for a wonderful Advent season ahead, honoring the work that you did and the research you did for this. So thank you
so much. Great team effort.
Great team effort. Well, I also want to encourage you this week to look at page 5 in our study guide and work through the following we have here. We have a reflection time and how... Answer the question, you know, Advent begins with longing and waiting. How does God's word sustain your hope during this waiting season? How can you choose to be more hope-filled this Advent? Take out your journal and write through that. Then there's a practice. Write down one area of your life where you need hope and pray the psalm each morning this week, replacing watchman with your name. This is a good practice. And then readings for the week, day 1 to 7 through the Psalms. Look these up. Pray through them, journal. And then finally, the action for this week, prepare a meal and share it with someone. Attend a Christmas event at a local church or theater. Find out how you can serve in your community. Also, don't forget to download your free Advent study guide. This is going to be key for this season at seeherelove.com/advent. And if you need prayer and you need to be reminded that there's hope, if you are feeling grief and loss and loneliness, and that you need to know that you're not alone, please call our 24/7 prayer lines at 1-866-273-4444. We'd love to pray with you today. And as we start and end this Advent week with hope, know that the Lord will give you steadfast hope. Even when all seems lost and challenging, there is hope. And make sure you join us next week as our season of Advent continues with the candle of peace. And always know, you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply, deeply loved by God. Thanks so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See Here Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks.
We are able to do See Hear Love because of these generous sponsors. Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.